Hello. My name is Dr. Gary Collins. I'm a clinical psychologist and professor of counseling at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois. This is a tape about alcoholism. It has been prepared by Dr. Thomas Westall, who is senior pastor of the Evangelical Free Church of Las Vegas, a former chaplain in the United States Air Force, and a one-time alcoholic. This tape is not meant to replace a counselor, to answer all of your questions, or to solve your problems for you. It is intended, instead, as a supplement to counseling, an added plus that your counselor would like you to hear and discuss during later counseling sessions. It has been discovered in the past that listening to tapes can be helpful to people. So listen now as we consider the topic of alcoholism. Here is Dr. Thomas Westall.
I'm Tom Westall, and I have a few things I'd like to share with you from my life experience as well as education. I grew up in rural New Jersey, and growing up in New Jersey, we lived a relatively sheltered life in those days. However, individuals who found themselves in trouble, having problems with alcohol or drugs, fell in one of two categories. People who used cocaine or heroin and even marijuana per se were said to be individuals that were criminals. They were against society and they were shunned. Users that would use a dirty drug. But there were others as well using a chemical or drug. They weren't considered dirty. They used a drug of choice and was called alcohol. Some drank only beer, some drank whiskey and martinis and such, but that was a social acceptable chemical or drug until it impaired with their life. Now, I didn't have that problem in New Jersey. I joined the Air Force when I was a very young man. I was only 17 years old, and I left for basic training in Texas, but the night before, they gave me a going-away party, and someone brought some beer, and I drank it for the first time in my life. Became very ill. I had a tremendous hangover. I went to Texas feeling just terrible. But I came home after basic training, and I received an assignment to go to Virginia, an Army base, for some more training. And being in Virginia, away from home, and I finished basic training, something new was happening in my life. I went out with the boys, the men that I was assigned with, to the beer garden, and we drank 3.2 beer. Now, that's a very weak beer. It would be even weaker than your light beer that we have today. At the conclusion of that assignment in Virginia, I was handed a set of orders, and I went overseas. And I was assigned to Germany. I was quite innocent and naive in so many different ways. But I found that the real world was a time of tremendous fun and excitement of games. And yet I found that it did change my life, but not for the best. Now, I don't want to go off and glamorize alcohol. I don't want to go off and put down an individual who's a social drinker at all. I'm not going to try to get on a soapbox as I share with you at this moment. As a matter of fact, many times I'll laugh at the situation, as serious as it may be, but I've come through it, and I do have something that I believe that maybe can help you in a situation that maybe you find yourself in right now. Now, let's remember that at the height of my drinking days, that I was drinking a quart bottle of scotch a day, and white label scotch is very potent, and undoubtedly I ended up becoming an alcoholic. Now, I have to say, when I grew up in New Jersey, I never thought that would ever happen to me. The family drank a lot of beer, but they were not considered alcoholic by any means or fashion. But I do know firsthand, not only as I've studied, but experienced it in my life, there is an answer. And you can receive help, such as I received help over a period of years. Now, once again, I really do not want to preach to you, but I do believe from the bottom of my heart that there is an answer for those who find themselves wrestling with the whole problem of alcohol abuse or alcohol as a problem area in their life, and they admit that they're an alcoholic. And I would like to say that the answer right up front is just not another program. It's not a counseling session. It's not a rehabilitative situation per se, but the answer is to be found in a person. First, I would like to say to you that if you feel you have a problem, that you really do need to accept the problem that you have. And you're probably saying to yourself, as I said to myself, who, me, an alcoholic? I'm not an alcoholic. I don't may drink a lot, but I do not have a real problem. One of the hardest things that anybody has to decide upon in their life, particularly if it's involving alcohol, is accepting the responsibility of being an alcoholic. The denial factor is tremendous. I know in my life, I would say to my wife and to my friends that I did not have a drinking problem, and I'm sure that maybe some of you have said the same thing. That I could stay dry, and if I could stay dry, obviously that meant that I was not an alcoholic, or I really was not even a problem drinker. I went on a diet for 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, I proved to everybody that I was not an alcoholic, or I did not have a drinking problem, and I kind of solidified my position that I was blameless. I really did not have this problem with alcohol at all. But right after I had finished my diet and I proved my point, I began drinking again, and my drinking became even worse. I found out, and maybe you have found out in your life, if you recognize that you have a problem, that you're more comfortable with people if you have that social acceptable beverage in your hand, that you feel that you're at more ease with people, you have more self-confidence, your ego is kind of liberated in many ways. And most people who have an alcohol problem that or alcoholics find that they can just be a totally different person when they're drinking. Now, I've counseled many a person with this problem, and certain signs are quite evident if they have a problem with alcohol. It's not unusual to hear that at lunchtime a person's looking forward to going out with a business client or a coworker to have a few beers and then just return to work. Well, what happens in time is that you get back to work much later. You've had a few too many drinks than you ought to have had. And you find that after lunch, you decide to stay for a few more hours as the whole problem progresses. You start to frequent restaurants that have cocktail lounges, and you're more looking for the atmosphere of the lounge than possibly of the restaurant per se. Now, being in business, as many of you are in business, it's been said, and sometimes it's true, that a lot of work is completed over the bar. And that may be true, but we have to understand that a bar must not become a social watering hole, per se. I believe that rubbing shoulders with certain individuals after work or during work at lunch times was good exposure for me. And maybe in you, as you wrestled with this whole problem in your life, you started off thinking that exposure at the club or at the restaurant or at the cocktail bar was good for your business and was good financially for you. You may have come to that conclusion. And sometimes being seen in certain places do help an individual in business. Another situation that you had to wrestle with that I wrestled with as though I frequently went to the clubs and these different places of social life of certain hubs, that if I had a few drinks, I really could become that different person. And maybe you find that after a couple of drinks, instead of being the shy, reserved type, that you become the life of the party, and you never had that type of attention before, and it feels good. Another thing that people wrestle with, and maybe you are wrestling with that, is when you're invited to go out, you assume to maybe prime the pump, have a few drinks, so that when you get to a function or a party, that you're really at the height of your performance, and you feel it's really quite good. Individuals who have a drinking problem as well, that usually refuse to accept that they have a problem, is that they argue vehemently that they do not have a problem. Now, I'm not talking about an individual that would be said to be a bum or totally out of control. You may have a job. You may be gainfully employed and very successful. But to be an alcoholic, it's not so much that you need to be down and out. It's to be a person who allows alcohol to interfere with their daily activities of thought processes and relationships as well. And it's not even the quantity, it's not how much you drink that makes you an alcoholic. I had a person working for me back a number of years ago who was a very straight individual. The guy was the controller of my corporation. And she was not an alcoholic, as we would understand an alcoholic or a skid row individual. She was happily married for many, many years. She had children that had grown, gone on to college, very successful. And she had a very good relationship with her spouse. One day she told me that she was not feeling real well, and I asked her what was the problem. And she said, well, I just didn't sleep very well last night. And I asked this gal why, and she said that every night before she turns in for the evening, her and her husband have a glass of wine together, and they just have a chance to quiet down from the end of a day's work, and they share with one another. But this one given night, she went to her home bar, and there was no bottle of wine there. And it was late, and the stores was closed. So they turned in without having their glass of wine. Now, her husband went right to sleep and had no problem, but this employee of mine shared with me that she could not sleep, and she was anxious, and she was upset. Now, given what most people think an alcoholic is, she would not fit that criteria. She was not an uncontrollable alcoholic by any means, but even not having that one glass of wine at the end of the day, she found that it affected her whole behavior, her personality, and interrupted her sleep. And she had admitted to me that maybe she did have a drinking problem. Accepting the responsibility and accepting the problem as a problem that you may have is the first step. And nobody likes to be tagged with a label or a title, alcoholic. But I want to share with you that as I speak with you now, one of the biggest things I had to wrestle with was that I had a drinking problem, and maybe you do too. And what I'd like to share with you is not so much to fit you into a mold, but to appeal to your heart, and appeal to your heart in such a way that you would answer these questions and you would think about these things within your heart so that you would understand really the significance of what I'm talking about and a possible problem that you may have. Not only is it important to accept the problem that you may have a drinking problem and or you may be an alcoholic, but we must remember to be responsible for our own actions. That we need to take responsibility for our actions, and especially if we have a problem because of our lifestyles. It's kind of facing the facts. To accept the problem and to face the facts is very similar, but it is just a little bit different. Maybe you would ask yourself these questions, and it's not important that you would tell me or tell the counselor that you'll see in a minute, but when you are drinking, afterwards, has your activity, your responsibility ever interfered with your work relationships or responsibilities or your relationships at home? Do you find yourself making excuses because of what happened over lunch or over an afternoon of having a few drinks with your friends? Have you found yourself in a situation where your wife has to call your employer or your spouse if it's your husband and to give an explanation why you cannot come to work or you can't meet certain responsibility that normally you meet? This is called an enabler. And a person who has a drinking problem usually wants to find another person to cover for themselves. And this enabler, because of the loving relationship they have with the person who has a drinking problem goes along with the request of the alcoholic or problem drinker. And it's not uncommon to find wives to be calling, or husbands be calling, giving explanations why a wife or a husband can't make it to work. They say that they're not feeling good today, or they've had an accident, or there's been a death in the family, when really none of that's true. You're just wrestling with a hangover, or wrestling with a realization that you just did not make your appointment on time, and you're looking for an excuse that's convenient, and you still satisfy the person who you are answerable to. I know for me, in my life, I wrestled with a sense of shame. And we have to understand that in life, when we have feelings of shame, we should be asking the questions, is there a reason for shame? Our heart does convict us. And, you know, your heart right now will convict you much more than any counselor can convict you. And Dr. David Wells once said this, and it really is quite true. Beware of wrestling with your conscience and winning. We really don't prove anything when we wrestle with our conscience and we win. Our conscience is that which God has given us the ability to determine right from wrong. He speaks to us. He tells us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well that He writes His statutes, His will for us on our hearts. And that our hearts will tell us that which is right and that which is wrong. And you know the condition, particularly the spiritual condition, of your heart and your life. Now, accepting a problem and taking responsibility sometimes are two different things. We like to shift responsibility, especially when our lifestyles are not acceptable. For years in my life, I always seem to have had a friend in high places. An individual was always there to bail me out of the situation that I managed to get myself in. And we have to take that responsibility that when we find ourselves in embarrassing positions, and if it's because of the result of our drinking, that it is our problem and not another person's problem. One time I found myself being pulled over at the end of the day by a police officer, and a police officer obviously knew that I'd had too much to drink, and so he brought me into the police station. And that was embarrassing, but I wasn't too concerned because the police officer worked in a community in which I was very close with the chief of police. And so when I received my one free telephone call, I called that chief of police. And because of my friendship with individual in the high place, I was released. Now, that was not a loving act on the side of the chief of police, but that's life. Now, what about situations in which we are drinking and we become really quite irresponsible and we start writing checks? And knowing at the time we can't cover it, but we rationalize to ourselves, well, I'll cover it tomorrow. I have time, or I have funds coming in. I, too, like many others, found myself in that embarrassing position, and I had a banker. Because I was in business, he would cover my checks. And most of those checks that he covered were usually written when I was drinking or completely out of control. And you were probably thinking, now, I'm not really like that. I have it all together. I don't have to take responsibility for a problem because I don't have a problem. And most of us that have problems in life also know how to compensate for the problems. We become very smooth talkers. We can talk ourselves out of just about any situation that we find ourselves in. We have friends who compliment us, and so we have a tendency to want to hang with friends that are feeling and acting like we feel. And another situation that you may ask yourself, has the circle of friends that you used to frequent and spend time with, have they changed over the last few years as you continue to drink? Has your credit rating changed because you're just a little late paying those bills now? Or maybe none of that's happened, but nevertheless, you still know in your heart that you have a drinking problem. And I would really encourage you as a friend to take the responsibility and say, yes, I have a problem. I want to face the facts. And maybe the problem is so grave that I need some help, that I cannot even help myself any longer. Now, all of us fail in life to some degree or another. And failing to take responsibility when we are conscious of our failures is really far worse than a problem itself. We have to understand that if you have a drinking problem, the problem doesn't get better by itself. Matter of fact, some who want to call alcoholism or alcohol abuse as a disease also say that this disease is a progressive disease that will destroy and ultimately take the life of the person who is drinking. Now, as we take the responsibility of the problem that we would have, we do have to be honest, and I have to be honest with myself, that nobody forced me to drink. Nobody made me lift up that glass and to drink the contents or the bottle. And I always found it very easy to blame another person or the circumstances. I have a superior, I have a boss, I have the situation in life that I'm not the master of, and I just need to unwind. Now, an alcoholic is a person who is looking for excuses to justify their lack of responsible living and the lack of making the right decisions and choices in their lives. And again, accepting that problem and taking responsibility of the problem is very important. And then once we recognize, and we're willing to be very courageous and say, yes, I guess I do have the problem. That which happens to other people is happening to me. Now we need to make some form of decision, to take some form of action, so that we would do something positive to receive some help. I counseled a young man years ago who was an airplane mechanic. And he came to me at the request of his wife. The wife gave him an ultimatum. You either seek some help or she was going to leave her husband. Now this can go either way. A husband would say the same thing to a wife, which I had the same situation. And this individual told me that he did not have a problem whatsoever. Matter of fact, he said he had just come home from work and have just a few beers and returned back to work. But he was a little concerned one day that because he recognized he had left the panel off of one of the aircraft that he was working on, and that aircraft could have taken off and possibly have crashed. So he thought, well, just maybe there could be a problem, at least in this situation. And he talked with somebody about it. So he consented to come to me as his wife had asked. And I asked him, I said, tell me about your lifestyle. And lived a very straight life, hard-working, family man, provided. And said that at lunch he'd come home and have a few drinks and go back to work. And at the conclusion of the day, he'd stop for a few drinks to a family type of tavern. And he had a few more drinks, and then each day was kind of like that. But his wife recognized and saw some evidence of a growing problem. He assured me that he was not physically addicted, though psychologically, emotionally, he found that the use of alcohol lifted him up. And that's usually the first problem, the emotional or the psychological lifting up or the addiction that a person who has a problem has to wrestle with. The physical addiction comes later. Counseling with this individual over a period of weeks, he finally agreed to go into a rehabilitative program. But he assured me he had no drinking problem, that he was not really physically addictive, though he recognized that maybe he had other problems. He wanted some in-depth counseling, so he agreed to go into this program. He was in a program the first day, and he found himself shaking, being very irritable, perspiring, very touchy, did not want to talk to people, felt betrayed all of a sudden as he found himself in another state in this program. At the end of the week, he called me up and he thanked me. He said what had happened is that he had convinced himself that emotionally and psychologically he was not an alcoholic, though he recognized that he needed alcohol to cope. But he had discovered now that he was physically addicted to alcohol. His 4, 5, 6 beers a day had taken its toll, and his body needed that to live. Much like this woman that worked for me that needed a glass of wine each day, he needed to have his few beers. And once he had gone through a detoxification process, he recognized how much he needed help, and he needed to take very decisive action now so that he would not just return home, to go back to his lifestyle and to continue in his problem. He came back to me and he recognized that what was needed was not a program per se, but he needed to have confidence so that he would not fall back to this problem of drinking and lifestyles and such that's normally associated with a person who has a problem. And I shared with him the importance of Jesus Christ versus just a package program that so many people get. Now, I will admit that a program at times is very important as a means to an end, but a program itself is not an end. A person who is wrestling with low self-esteem, a person who is wrestling with lifestyle decisions that are wrong, a person who is wrestling with some form of either emotional, psychological, spiritual, or physical addiction doesn't need a program, but needs a person who can create a new heart and make a whole new character in the life of a person who is searching. And that, the only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians. And once again, I do not want to preach to you, but I know in my life when I finally recognized that maybe I had a problem, this verse came to mind, and I was a very young Christian, that no temptation has ceased you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up underneath him. I had come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. And coming to Christ initially does not mean that you're going to become well all in one moment. It doesn't mean that your addiction or your psychological problem is going to get better immediately. The promise is that God will create in you a new heart, and that he'll work within your life, and you find that all of a sudden, with low self-esteem and other problems, that he replaces these problems with his love, and by his grace, he rebuilds you. And for me, though I knew that I was a Christian, I was actually even drinking more. And coming to Christ is not the answer by itself, but it becomes the means of which Christ now begins to speak with you. Because you are a new creation. And sometimes we have to admit, though we're a new creation, that we do have to seek medical help. And just quitting drinking for a person who is drinking a quart bottle a day can be very, very dangerous. It's not uncommon for an individual to be brought into a hospital unconsciously. And that person's unconscious because of the sheer quantities of alcohol that the person is drinking. And if the medical staff does not monitor that individual, they can die very quickly. And it's very important that if you are drinking, that you receive a physical and receive medical help so that if you are physically addicted, that you do not jeopardize some very severe things that can happen to you. But more often than not, most people need good biblical counseling. And I don't mean that counseling is going to point a finger, a counseling that's going to beat up on you and such, but counseling which is going to say that there is hope, I mean real hope for you. I would like to say in passing that most people today that have a problem with alcohol usually also have a problem with some other form of chemical or some form of pills, either prescription, legally or illegal prescriptions. And that complicates factors quite a bit in the treatment, but there can be help. Now, where would you look for help in your community? You will be speaking with a pastor or a counselor. You want to talk to him openly and honest. He's not here. to put you down. He's there with you today to help you. But if you would choose not to reach out, go home and look in the telephone book and call your nearest rescue mission. Not that maybe you feel you belong there, but they can offer some support and some help and some guidance. And they can tell you people in your community or nearby your community where you can receive help. Marigus Keswick Mercy Colony in New Jersey is only one of hundreds of organizations that work with individuals who have problems with alcohol. And they come in and they leave, and most will leave if they face their problem. New individuals, strong and confident. You have the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago as well, the oldest rescue mission in the United States. Again, you may think that you don't have this problem, but you suspect it. Speak to some of these people. They can provide good counseling. Speak to your pastor, but be up for the front with your pastor and tell him that maybe you do have a problem with alcohol, and the pastor does not have the experience. Ask the pastor to find out someone who does have the experience with alcohol counseling.
This completes side one of the tape. Please turn over the tape and listen to the remainder of Chaplain Westall's presentation on side two.
One of the things that's extremely important is to find a good Bible preaching church, a place that's going to understand where you're coming from, a place that you're going to associate and have fellowship with sound, secure, healthy Christians. Now, I'm talking about not a program, but a person and his people, the local church. That you will need support. Those going to be days that you're going to feel like you could just lick the world, and it's going to be those moments in which you're going to feel very weak, very lonely, very hurt, and you need to have the support to get you through life. Not only does Christ provide that, but so does his people. And you need to have the people that are going to be comforting to you. None of us need to have anyone to point a finger. None of us. And you need to find a church, a support network that's going to provide the grace and the mercy that you need. And you're going to have to be with people that you're going to say are your good, sound friends. And friendship really is an art, but it's also a gift. And a place that I'm talking about, the local church, is a place in which you're going to receive spiritual food. A place in which you're going to be part of a good discipleship program. What that word means is a program that's going to teach you the principles of triumphant living. A place that's going to help you to really become your true self that God would want you to become. Now, let's understand, if you just go to a secular program and they may be able to dry you out for a season, they really can't replace anything that is lasting or eternal like a church can. It's important that we exchange your former lifestyle with something that is much better, and that is the lifestyle of a Christian. Now, the lifestyle doesn't save you. Christ does. But you have the positive reinforcement when you're with his people. And that's very important, that when we make a decision to turn from our lifestyles that gets us into particular problems like drinking excessively and such, that we are with people that do not drink excessively, that their value systems are strong and they're healthy, and individuals that are loving and accepting as well. Now,
I have to warn you that not all churches will be open as such. Some churches look down on a person who has problems such as alcohol or a drug problem. But there are many churches that are very open and very loving. Search for one of these good churches. A church that's going to understand that the problem you have is not the unpardonable sin, but a church who recognizes that the importance of accepting a person who reaches out. And what I'm saying now is that as you make the right decisions and the right actions in your life, that you reach out and reach out honestly to people that will work in your life as you will work in your life as well. One of the great things that we're told with the hope of a new life, that if we confess our sins, and alcoholism is the acting out of very poor lifestyles where a person consumes a beverage in excess and they become drunk. Drunkenness is called sin in the Bible. So therefore, when John says, if we, and that is if you and I confess our sins, the sin of alcoholism, the sin of drunkenness, that he, that is God, that he's faithful, that he's a loving God, that he is just, and he will forgive us of our sins, and so much so that he will purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that he will make us that new person. Now, either we're going to believe him as God or we're not. But nevertheless, he is God, and he is able and willing to create in you a new heart and make you a new person, a new creation. Now, lastly, there is help, and there's healing, and there's hope, not only for tomorrow, but for right now, today. I could counsel you for weeks and for months, as many other counselors can. But the first step of all must be your step. You have to be the one to be honest with the counselor, to talk about your lifestyles, your fears, those things that make you uncomfortable, and determine whether you have a problem with alcohol. Now, friends, I'm not pointing a finger. I'm really just like you in so many ways. I needed help, and maybe you need some help as well. I lost a fortune, and I almost lost my family and my life. I know firsthand what it is to be fearful. I know what it is to be mastered by alcohol, where the alcohol, like a monkey on my back, was pulling me down. I've been there, and I've been back. But I would not exchange my new life now as a Christian for anything. And I know that the world says that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And I don't agree with that. I know that when you come to Christ and you receive biblical counseling, you get involved in a good church, and you meet people that sincerely love you for what you are, that you really do become that new creation. It's been 16 years since I've had a drink. 16 years that I've been sober. Not even one. And the greatest thing of all is there's not even a desire any longer. I've never called a person saying that I feel that I need a drink. Why? Because God worked his grace within my life, and immediately I was accepted in a Bible preaching church. They were people of love and compassion and support. Maybe you need to accept the problem and face the facts. And maybe you need to take responsibility and to bear the consequences of your lifestyle choices. And undoubtedly, all of us, each and every day, that we need to make right decisions for our lives. And when we make decisions that are wrong decisions and they're lifestyle decisions, we find ourselves getting in trouble with the police, with our wife, with our children, with our families, places of employment, we need to take action today, right now. And I would encourage you, as we come to an end, that you talk to the counselor and be honest and pray that God would touch you in a very special way. I've been there, and God never says no to a individual who reaches out and asks for help. What you need is a person, not a program. But when you accept Christ, you will become part of the church. And what a whole new life you can have by accepting Him. And I pray that you would do just that. And reach out now to that counselor so that he may love you and help you as you walk in a total different direction. And a very exciting life can be yours, even today.
Now that you have listened to the presentation by Dr. Westall, please look at the questionnaire at Step 2 on your guide sheet. There are several questions, and you are asked to answer yes or no to each of those questions. Please circle yes or no for each of the questions, and when you have done so, please turn on the tape and we'll continue. Now that you have completed this questionnaire, please go back and look over the number of times you circled yes and the number of times you circled no. There is no magic number to determine whether or not a person is an alcoholic. But in general, the more yeses that have been circled, then the more this individual has a drinking problem. Not long ago, I talked with a young man who had a drinking problem in his home. He himself was not the drinker, but his wife was an alcoholic. Many times we discover that wives have great difficulties when a husband is an alcoholic. Parents have trouble if a child is an alcoholic. We know that many children have great difficulties handling the alcoholism of a parent. Here is a man who had difficulties and struggles for several years while his wife battled in a losing battle with alcoholism. Listen to this interview as we talk to this man whose wife was an alcoholic. Rick, what was it like to live with a problem drinker?
Well, Dr. Collins, to be honest with you, living with my alcoholic wife really made me crazy. And by that I mean that I was thinking in terms that was not normal for me. I found very soon that my wife was a binge drinker. She would drink on weekends at first and then several times during the week. And when she would drink, she would become very, very violent. And she would scream obscenities at me for hours on end. I would run around the house closing windows and hoping the neighbors weren't going to hear what was going on. And then the next day, she would act as if everything was fine and there was no problems. And so I would, again, begin to think I was crazy. Am I just imagining that our marriage is this bad? And again, she would act as if everything was fine, and she would deny that there was any problem with her or with our marriage. And if she didn't do that, she would blame me, and she would say that I was not an adequate husband. I was not treating her properly. I was not bringing in enough money. Just one thing after another that she would blame me for. But her denial became my denial. I think that's the essence of the problem. I soon began to accept what she was saying because I myself didn't want to believe that there was a problem. I was hoping there was no problem. And so I myself began to deny there was a problem. And not only that, but I began to withdraw from friends and from my family, making excuses when I couldn't make a party or a function that my family was having. And in fact, I really became obsessed with her drinking. I began looking around the house for bottles. I began, you know, just looking at how much was in each bottle and trying to, measure and gauge how much she was drinking. I became as obsessed with her drinking as she was with her own drinking. I felt that I was the only man in the entire world that had an alcoholic wife. I could not believe that God had allowed me to marry a woman like this, and so I began to think that I myself was at fault, that God was punishing me for some kind of sin that I'd committed. And so I withdrew from my friends and from my family and just tried to deny that there was any problem. That's
What about the people in the church? Did they know this was going on?
Very few did, because again, I wanted to let people think that everything was fine. Eventually, I did begin to confide in a few people, and the main response I would get is that they would pray for me, and really, I don't know what I expected them to do more than that, but I really didn't get a whole lot of support, because people really didn't understand the extent of the problem.
So, how long did this go on?
7 years. I was married for 7 years before we eventually became divorced. The immorality that came along with the drinking, again, at bars and so on, just became unbearable for me.
Did you learn some things? You must have learned some things about handling or living with a problem drinker.
Well, I handled it in many different ways. I tried everything. Of course, I prayed very hard, seeking God's help. I would send in prayer requests to all the television evangelists and hoping people would pray for me and our situation. But besides that, I would begin to fight back. I felt that I couldn't allow her to go on like this, and I needed to change the situation. I needed to take matters in my own hands and change her. And so I would try to convince her logically what she was doing, and that didn't make any headway at all. She again was in total denial of her problem, and I began to fight back in the crazy way she was fighting. I would use sarcasm, I would use silent treatment, every means I could to try to fight back and hold my ground as the husband of the home, because again, as a husband, I felt responsible. I was a spiritual leader, supposedly, and I felt at first when I married her, of course, that she was a Christian, but there was no fruit shown, especially after we were married, of Christianity in her life. I also tried to leave the house. I would escape from the situation and try to run away from the problem. And of course, I tried to take over her responsibilities. I thought if I could help her, maybe that would help. Maybe I could do the wash, I could clean the house, I could cook the food. And I did all that. But it was never enough. I could never do enough for her to satisfy her and to stop her from drinking. And so I even would try to threaten her, threaten to leave. And that wouldn't help. And I never really followed through on that until years later. Finally, I went to Al-Anon. And it was there that I learned to let go of the problem and let her be responsible for her own actions. And it was only then that I began to see some light at the end of the tunnel. It was there that I learned that I was not the only man in the world with living with a woman with a drinking problem. There were many others. And I found that there were many people in various situations, men, women, and children involved in family situations where there was a drinker. And we all had the same common problem of living with an alcoholic.
So what did you do in the long run to make things better? You said you stopped a little bit and let her take more responsibility, and you went to Al-Anon. Anything else that you did to try and deal with this problem?
Well, what I wished I would have done was confided in my family and friends instead of withdrawing from them. I think that by making excuses for her only hurt things in the long run, and I think it would have been much better to open up and let people in on the problems. My family told me after they finally found out, this was about 5 years after we were married, they told me, why didn't you come to us earlier? We could have tried to help, we could have understood. And yet I tried, again, in my denial, I tried to let them assume that everything was fine with our marriage. And I could have confronted her more with love. In a crazy situation that I was in, I did not always handle confrontations with love, because I became very angry and irrational. And of course, I could have allowed her to handle her own responsibilities. And that was something I did learn in Al-Anon. And when I finally began to do that, it did lead to some help. She eventually did go to a rehabilitation center. Although she's still drinking at this time, it was at least a step in the right direction. And for many people, that is the step that they need to get the help that they so much, you know, really require. And of course, I could have held her accountable for her actions instead of bailing her out of situations and making excuses for her. Especially when she was living somewhat immorally, I could have confronted that in a more Christian manner instead of just accusing her and blaming it on the drinking, which is one of the things I did quite often. I would blame everything that she did on her drinking and say that that was the problem. It wasn't that she was responsible for her actions. Everything was because she was an alcoholic. And we can't do that. We have to allow people to be responsible for their actions.
Sometimes the people who are with Alcoholics Anonymous say you have to allow the person to sort of hit bottom before they're going to get help. Would you agree with that?
Well, that happens a lot, and it works a lot, but some people need to be confronted with their problem by family and friends and forced to see the situation they're in. I don't believe in just letting people go until they reach a so-called natural bottom, because that bottom may be death itself. Mm-hmm. And if you love somebody and care for them, you ought to be able to confront them with love and not let the situation go, not desire peace at any price. That's what I did all too often. In the long run, there was no peace. Day after day, after the drinking bout the night before, I would be so thankful for a little bit of peace that I'd be satisfied with that and not think in the long terms of our relationship and of her problem. And so I would not confront her. I would not explain to her what happened the night before. Sometimes she would do crazy things, like throwing things at me. Lamps were broken. Windows were broken. Sometimes she would do bizarre things she wouldn't even remember. And I would just leave it go and not bring it up because, again, I wanted peace at any price.
Then later, did you change?
Yes, after going to Al-Anon, I did change. And that was a relief for me. It was a lot of pressure taken off of me because then I could be myself and not try to run her life as well as mine. We have a saying in Al-Anon which says, let go and let God. A lot of people misinterpret that. But for somebody who's obsessed with somebody else and their problem, not just concerned about, which is what we as Christians ought to be, concerned with love, but when you're obsessed with it to the degree that you do irrational things to try to help that person, you need to learn to let go and let God take over. Let God deal with that problem. And sometimes we need to get out of the way.
But tell me, in all of this, did you ever get any kind of counseling?
Yes, Dr. Collins, I did. Actually, I went to several different counselors besides my own pastor. At first, I was seeking marriage counseling, but I soon realized through the counselor that that was not the problem, that each of us needed our own individual counseling. And so even though she refused counseling, I sought out my own Christian counselor and began to go regularly. I found that I had myself a very serious self-esteem problem that probably perpetuated my actions and my denial of the situation that I was living in. And I learned how to deal with my own self-esteem and feel better about myself. And I learned not to take the responsibility of the alcoholic on myself. I felt so guilt-ridden because of what had happened, I couldn't help but think that I somehow was responsible for what had happened. And so I needed to deal with that. I sought the help of a counselor, and she was very helpful in leading me to a much better frame of mind. And we prayed together, and I know that God healed me through that counselor.
Did the church help you?
Yes, actually, one of the counselors I sought was through the church. And the church, I think, could have been more supportive of me. Again, it was a problem of my not confiding in the people of the church as much as I probably should have. But the pastor was very helpful to me. He spent a lot of time with me and my ex-wife trying to be as helpful as he could. But again, that was limited, so I did need to seek my own counselor.
If you were to leave two or three suggestions to people who are listening to this tape, it could be somebody who has a drinking problem, maybe it's somebody who has a loved one who has a drinking problem. What kinds of suggestions would you give to them, Rick?
Well, first I would say to be open with your problem. Confide in your friends, in people who you trust at church. Let them know the extent of your problem. Don't try to cover it up and sugarcoat it, but be very realistic and let people help you, because people do want to help you in your problem. And second of all, I would suggest that people seek the help of Al-Anon. If anybody's living with an alcoholic, anybody with a problem drinker at all, you know that the problem is too big for you to handle yourself, and it's so comforting to go and meet with other people who have the same problem and have been through it and can suggest helpful hints that can alleviate your anxiety. And besides all that, give you a lot of tremendous friends who very much care for you. It may not be an all-out Christian organization, but these people really do care. And then third, I would learn, probably through Al-Anon, to confront the person who's drinking in love with their problem. I don't believe in an all-out, pull everybody in and have an out-and-out confrontation. But I do believe in confronting day by day, as problems arise, as actions that the alcoholic has done has influenced and caused you to react in a certain way. Explain to the alcoholic your feelings and allow the alcoholic to see how you feel about it. And sometimes that will be enough to cause the alcoholic to think twice about their actions and how it's hurting you. And then last of all, I would try to just continue and have faith in God as I pray and seek His guidance. Because I know in my situation, God did pull me through it. God did bring the people in my life that I needed just at the right times. And He gave me the support I needed despite myself, despite my own denial. I know, looking back, that God was with me all the way. And I think all of us as Christians can trust that God will see you through and it will work out for the best.
Rick, I appreciate your honesty and I appreciate your sharing what has certainly been a difficult time in your life. And I hope that other people listening to this tape or perhaps re-listening to it will be able to identify with some of the things that you did and learn from some of the mistakes you made so they won't make the same mistake. After you've finished listening to this portion of the tape, I would encourage you to turn off the tape and look at your guide sheet again. There are several questions under step 4. Please follow the guidelines on the guide sheet and then turn on the tape after you finish answering the questions listed under step 4. As you listen to this tape, did you discover that this man had some of the same problems that you have encountered either in your own life or in the life of some loved one who is an alcoholic? Perhaps you will want to talk about some of these similarities with your counselor. It would be helpful now if you could take a piece of paper and write brief answers to the three questions that are included on your guide sheet at step 4. Please turn off the tape and write answers to these questions now. These questions give us a good indication of what is happening in the families of people who are alcoholics. For some unknown reason, alcoholism tends to run in families. Some of the questions on your guide sheet enable you to look at your own family and see if there has been any history of alcoholism. The last question, for example, is this all there is to life, or is the individual afraid to die, is a common concern to people who are struggling with alcoholism. Many of them know their lifestyles are wrong, know that their drinking is damaging to themselves and to others. Many know that they will stand in judgment and are concerned about the ways they have lived their lives. They wonder if this is all there really is to life, and still they're afraid of dying. Many of them don't want to hurt their families. Many of them deny that they are alcoholics. This is very common in people who have an alcoholic problem. And these questions that you have completed will help you to evaluate how you, if you're the drinker, or how your loved one is grappling with the problem of alcoholism right now. When you are finished with this tape, please return it to your counselor. If you have another counseling session, be sure to take this guide sheet with you. Take the written notes as well, so that you can discuss the content of this tape, the way you have completed the questionnaire, and the way you have answered these questions. All of this can be helpful as you and your counselor together discuss some of the ways that you can cope more effectively with the alcohol addiction in yourself or in the loved one who is struggling with this problem.